Can anybody pull them up?
No.
Oh.
Click on it, it opens the blank PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, then I probably didn't load it. So just watch up here and remind me after class and I'll do that. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so a lesson plan is an organized plan that describes what will occur during a specified time frame. The way that we know what goes into a lesson plan is there's certain research-based items that go into every lesson plan, and we can call that a lesson plan template. And there are lots of different lesson plan templates out there, and I'll show you those in a few minutes. But the key is that whenever you create a lesson plan, you have to know your content, you have to know what instruction you're going to do, and you have to know how you're going to assess your students. So a lesson plan template is a guide that ensures that you'll address all aspects of that lesson plan that research deems is important to student learning. So for example, we in this classroom always start out with some type of a sponge activity. And the sponge activity today was very quick and simple, just pulling up that concept map from the other day to remind you about the three different elements, curriculum, instruction, and assessment, to remember the activity that you did last time, because that's going to segue into today's lesson. So that we know that every time you need some type of an advance organizer, every day you have to have some type of a content delivery, every day there should be some type of guided practice and opportunity for students to do independent practice. And we know that because research after research after research project has shown that students learn more, they retain more over time, they can transfer that learning better when they're given opportunities to learn using this pre-designed process. So what do those look like? And I have some examples online, and if you want to go to them, you may. So just go to the web. Okay, and if you go to our class website and you click on material or links, then it'll say lesson plan examples. And if you click on lesson plan examples, it'll take you to this. And the first one that comes up is the Hunter Method, Madeline Hunter, who you may have heard about in your 201 class, and if you haven't, I'm sure that you will. The reason that hers comes up first is because hers is the most common and it's the best known. And remember that I said that there's a specific order, not only an order in how you teach it, but also usually in the way that a lesson plan looks. When I pick up any lesson plan, or I go online and I find any lesson plan, there are certain things that I'm going to want to see. I'm first going to want to know what subject area it is, what's the title of the lesson plan, and what's it going to be about. I also want to know kind of what grade level it's going to be for, but of course most of yours aren't going to include that because you know what grade level it's for. And then most importantly, I'm going to want to know what is it going to teach, my objectives. Those objectives for you are going to come right out of the CCSD Curriculum Essentials Framework, because I don't expect you to know how to write those yet. But usually when I look online, I'll find objectives that teachers have written that align with a curriculum guide that I would regularly use in my classroom. The next thing I'm always going to find is materials. And that's telling me if I'm going to teach this lesson and I put it together yesterday, when I'm running out my door to my classroom, what do I need to make sure will actually, what do I need to make sure will actually be in my bag so that I don't forget anything? So it's a quick way for you to look and say, this is what I need. So for today, I knew that I needed these pieces of paper, so I made sure that I made copies beforehand and that when I ran out my office door, I had that with me. Next is what we call an anticipatory set in the Hunter Method. That can be equivalent, some people see that equivalent to the sponge activity, but actually an advanced organizer or a sponge activity is something that immediately gets the students involved in thinking about the content of the day. And it can be, usually it's an activity or a reading. An anticipatory set, differently, is a set of guiding questions. So I might say, well, what do you all know about lesson planning? So when I started this lecture section, the first thing I said is, what is a lesson plan? So it's simply a question that starts to get those synapses working in your brains to start thinking about where we're going. And the reason for that is because it's the interconnections. You actually don't learn anything unless you can relate it to something else that you already know. So if I can get you to relate that to something you already know, that's going to give a jump start to your learning for the rest of the lesson. So having an anticipatory set is almost always one of the first things that you're going to want to do. Then I'm going to state my objectives. Remember I talked about how in this class I always tell you what we're going to do and I don't tell you why we're going to do it, but for students you might not say, say, these are my objectives, and read them, because they're not going to understand all that verbiage anyway. You might say, today we're going to learn about different types of bears, because different types of bears live in different parts of the world. And we live here in Colorado, and we have one type, but I think it might be interesting for you to see that there are different types that look different ways and have different characteristics. That would make a lot of sense in an elementary classroom. So you need to kind of bring it down to their level, let them see what they're going to learn, but also give it some purpose or some importance. Next, you need to give some type of an input, or what I call a content delivery. You have to give them information. So maybe if the topic is different types of bears, then maybe I'll show them different types of bears, and we'll talk about different types of bears. Or maybe what I'll do instead is I'll give them each different books on different types of bears, and then I'll have them teach each other about those. So somehow I'm going to get that content into them. Then I'm going to model what I want them to do. So I might say, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a whole bunch of bears, and you need to tell me what types of bears these are. So I show one, and I say, this is a polar bear. So I've shown them. And now you're going to, I'm going to say, do you understand? So I put up another one, and I say, what kind of bear is this? And they say, it's a black bear. And I go, okay. But if they don't get it, then they put it up, and they say, then I'll say, let's try again. We try another one. It's a brown bear. They got it. So I know that they kind of have an idea of what we're doing here. Then guided practice. They do the activity on their own with me walking around making sure that they're understanding. So an example of that is when you all were putting together your rudimentary lesson plans last session we met, I showed you how to do it. Then I had you get in groups and start working on it, and I walked around and I made sure that you were all doing it pretty well. Now today what I'm going to do is I was checking for understanding, and I'm doing guided practice. Today we're going to do more guided practice because I'm going to have you practice again in a group, and then I'm going to close and say, okay, you all know how to do a lesson plan now, and then you're going to do independent practice because you're going to have a homework assignment where now you have to do it without me standing over your shoulder and without your two colleagues helping you out. Okay, so that's the process in the Madeline Hunter method. If you want to see an example of that, if you scroll to the bottom of that page, crossing the Atlantic, then you'll see a lesson plan that was developed by Jennifer Pondren that I wrote up using the Hunter method. And so you'll see we've got the objectives, the resources that you need, the anticipatory set, a set of questions, the purpose of it, what I'm going to do to deliver the information, how I'm going to model it, how I'm going to check that they understand it, how they're going to guide the practice, closure, independent practice. Okay. Now, a second model would be the BINCO model. And this one is really a geography model. And the reason that I include this one is not because it's an important one, not that it's used heavily in all subject areas. It's important to those of us in geography. But so that you can see that there are a variety of models, and models are often used for different content areas, or different content areas might have a preference. So just think about when you're writing an essay, sometimes you're going to use MLA format, or sometimes you're going to use Chicago format, or sometimes you're going to use APA format. Just like in education, if you're doing a geography lesson, it makes sense to use a BINCO format. So different subject areas might have their different preferred methods, but we can all, you know, pretty much use all of these or feel comfortable using them. Again, we have the basic information, teacher, subject area, grade level, unit, title, lesson title. And then it looks slightly different here. We have an overview so that when I look at this lesson plan, I'll see about a 2 or 3 sentence thing at the very top that tells me what students are going to do, what they're going to learn, and how they're going to do it. So I can get just an overview. Then I get the connection to the curriculum. So I want to know, how does it relate to other subject areas? And will this relate to my math curriculum? Will it relate to my social studies or my language arts curriculum? And if so, how? So how might I use this lesson plan as a companion lesson to a social studies lesson if this one is language arts? Next is connection to the standards. And remember, I showed up the National Council for Teachers of Mathematics standards, or the National Educational Technology standards, which you're all pretty familiar with now. How does this lesson relate to those standards? You are going to have to create this lesson plan. You don't need to worry about it. But the next lesson plan, you're going to have to show the connection to the NETS standards. Okay. So the next is time. How much time will it take? Usually in middle school and high school, everything is in a 40 minute to 60 minute block. But in elementary, you can say, this is a 10 minute lesson, or this is an hour and a half lesson, or this is a 3 day lesson. So you have a lot of flexibility in elementary because you're it in the classroom. We've got, again, materials and equipment. We've got objectives, just like before, and then a suggested procedure. Again, there's some type of an opening, there's some type of a development or content delivery, and a closing. And then finally, we have the student assessment, and then additional resources and extending the lesson. An example of that one is, let's do Raft. I just wrote this one over the summer. Okay, and this one, I participated in a Lewis and Clark training over the summer with the Geographic Alliance in Nevada, and our requirement was we had to write a lesson plan that aligned with the Lewis and Clark expedition. And so I did one using a raft strategy, and that requires students to do role playing. And so I tell, you know, how long it's going to take, what's going to happen each day. This is a three-day 50-minute lesson each day, and then I tell what are the connections to the standards, what are they going to learn, what are they going to do, and then I modified this one, putting in each day what the procedure, opening, and development and closing are by day. Okay, so an example there. A method that I use in my classes, so you're probably pretty familiar with it, is there's always a sponge activity, then there's always an anticipatory set. There's usually always an anticipatory set. I deliver some type of a content. So right now I'm delivering content on how you lesson plan. Then you do some type of activity. You're going to create a lesson plan in a few minutes. Then I'm going to assess you somehow. And that's usually the homework that you have. And then another one is just a generic template. I don't know who to attribute this to. This one is slightly different. They call it performance objectives, still basically your objectives. How do you prepare the students? How are you going to present it? How are you going to apply it? How are you going to evaluate it? So as you can see, these are all pretty much almost exactly the same things. You're just using different words. And the reason is we know that this method is what works when we're teaching students. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you how to use a template. So one of these templates, and it's one that I created for this class, that's loosely based on the Hunter and my personal methods and a generic method. And that's what you're going to use for this class. If you need to use a different one for some reason, talk to me individually and I'll allow you to use that one. But really for this lesson, I prefer that you use mine because I want you to learn how to use templates as well. So, click on the, go to our, whoops, I didn't want that. At our website, so if you go back to our website and click on the outline, I handed out the lesson plan the other day, and I handed out some information about what the lesson plan would look like, explaining each of those pieces, and that's here under use, that's the problem. Okay, it says see explanation. And then down here where it says use simplified lesson plan template, that's what you need to do to write your lesson plan. So click on that and you'll download it. And it is going to look like I got a big mess here, so is that? There we go. Okay, so it's going to look like this. Oh, nope, that's not it. Sorry. The one that you downloaded is going to look like, I changed it this morning, and that's why. Okay, like this. Okay, so that's what you should have on your screen if you brought it up, but you don't have to have it on your screen if you don't want. Okay, so this is, notice when this came up, it didn't come up with the name that it looked like when you downloaded it. It says document 2, or yours probably says document 1. The reason that it says that is because I saved it in stationary format. To save something in stationary format means that you're saving it as stationary. You're saving it as something that is not going to change. So every time you open this file, it's going to look like this. And you say, well, then why am I going to waste my time typing it in? Because you're going to save it with a different name. Yes? Yes. Yes, for lesson plan one. Okay, so if I open this again, you'll see it now says document 3, and I have two things that look exactly the same. So you're going to want to save it as something else. Okay, so the way that you're going to save something, if you create a form and you want to save it in that format, is when you go to File, Save, or Save As, you can click down here on Format, and scroll down to where it says Word Document Stationary, and then every time it opens, it will open as a brand new document. So that's probably not something those of you who are newer to technology need to know right now. But those of you who are a little more advanced, that's a really, really useful tool. Okay, you'll recall that when I taught you about word processing, I taught you about bullets. So in here, there are actually some bullets, and I'll show you how you're going to use those in a second. But there's something else that's in here that you didn't see before, and that's using forms. And you'll recall that under View, there was an option in Toolbars to open up your Forms toolbar. And here's my Forms toolbar. So when I when I want you to write the lesson title here, what I did is I clicked on this button, which put in a little gray box, which says this is where you need to type. Now, if you're going to type there, the way that you do it, and go ahead and practice if you have it open, is just click there and it's going to turn dark gray, and then you can just type over it. And it's going to maintain the formatting that I told it that I wanted it to have there. So if I said I wanted it to be italic and bold, it's going to be italic and bold. I also added in some little checkboxes just by clicking right here before Language Arts, and I clicked on this little checkbox, and it put in a checkbox. Now, if you want to fill that checkbox in, what you're going to do is double-click on it, and it'll give you an option of not checked or checked. And you're going to say, I want it checked, because this is a Language Arts lesson. Now, remember I said I was going to come back to bullets. In the anticipatory set, remember you put in a list of questions? So here are my list of questions. So I'm going to say, what do you think about? And then if I hit return, it's just going to put in another one, and you can just start typing. Okay? Are there any questions about using this template? Okay, so that is what you'll need to do for this assignment. Delete. Okay, some other things that you might want to think about is if there's something that you do, go back in there. If there's something that you do that you want to copy, so you might just highlight over it. I'm not sure if I taught you this before. Say edit, copy, or these are called keystroke commands. So on mine, I get this little open apple or command key and C, and that'll copy it. And then if I want to write it down here again, I can edit, paste. And then probably one of the most important things that you'll ever learn in any application is the undo key. And that is edit, undo, and in this case the last one was paste, and you can undo it. In some programs like Inspiration, you can only undo the last step that you did. In Word, you can specify how many you want it to undo. You can undo 20, 30, however many you set. But remember that once you undo something, it cannot redo it. Okay, so if you really did a whole huge paragraph and you're really happy with it, don't hit undo because it's gone. Okay, all right. Again, any questions about using Word for this assignment?
I'm sorry, where was Forms when you showed up?
If you want to create a form.
Well, you said something about clicking Forms to get this toolbar here.
Yeah, then you go to View, Toolbars,
gotcha.
And Forms, and
okay.
You will not need that for this assignment at all. Because for you, all you're going to do is you're going to click where the box is and type it in. If you click after the box or before the box and it doesn't turn gray, the box is going to stay there. So make sure you click in the box so it changes. Okay? All right, so we won't save that. And we completed that task. Okay, so what I'm going to have you do is return to your triad groups from before. I've handed out the lessons that you did last time, or the ones that you developed, and what I want you to do is start filling in as a group just one of these forms, and then I'm going to have you print it out at the end using the lesson plan that you conceived last time. So get in your groups, and I'll help you out with that as you move along.